From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and in a few minutes, we'll have a look at the testy debate last night for governor in California.
But first, something of a breakthrough in eastern Ukraine today. Pro-Russian separatists and the Ukrainian government have agreed to a ceasefire. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said in a written statement that, quote, we must do everything possible and impossible to end the bloodshed, and said he's ordered Ukrainian armed forces to stop fighting. Meanwhile, on the second day of the NATO summit in Wales, President Obama said the ceasefire is a result of pressure in the form of sanctions that have already been applied to Russia, which he says are having a real effect on Russia's economy. Western allies say they will impose further sanction if today's ceasefire isn't respected. Here's more of what the president said today.
The unity and the firmness that we've seen in the transatlantic alliance in supporting Ukraine and applying sanctions has been, I think, a testimony to how seriously people take the basic principle that big countries can't just stomp on little countries or force them to change their policies give up their sovereignty.
But at the NATO summit, the unrest in Ukraine is just one on a long list of problems to solve, among them Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, and the continued threat of ISIS. For more, we're joined now by NPR's White House correspondent Scott Horsley in Washington. Hi there, Scott.
Hi, good to be with you.
Great to have you. So first of all, let's just start with Ukraine. We have this much-needed breakthrough in the form of the ceasefire, but NATO itself has also taken some actions that seem to suggest that, you know, maybe further unrest is expected there.
Well, that's right. And despite what the president said, I think the NATO leaders have in effect said that big countries are able to stomp on little countries if those little countries are not members of NATO. And Ukraine is not a member of NATO. The ceasefire that was announced today effectively locks in the territorial gains of the Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine, gains which were only achieved with overt help from the Russian military. So it's not as though Russia came to the bargaining table out of weakness because of those economic sanctions. Rather, Russia and its separatist clients have more or less gotten the territory recognition they wanted, at least for now. And it doesn't even seem as if additional sanctions, which may be forthcoming, have much hope of reversing that.
Now, I understand that the president has also said that he's skeptical that the pro-Russian separatists will honor the ceasefire, and so that some are saying this is actually a win for Russian President Vladimir Putin. I mean, your thoughts on that?
I think this does have to be seen as a win for Vladimir Putin and something of a repudiation of the economic sanctions that have been leveled in the past. Now, I will say that both the president and other NATO leaders have drawn a much harder line when it comes to protecting the territory of NATO members, like the Baltic countries on Russia's periphery. NATO has agreed to form a rapid reaction force in hopes of discouraging any further land grabs by Russia. And NATO is also planning a stronger presence in Central and Eastern Europe with the hope that that would be a deterrent against further aggression by Russia. NATO is also providing some additional support to Ukraine and non-NATO members, including Moldova and Georgia.
Interesting. Well, Scott, let's move on to another major threat as seen by NATO, and that is the threat of the Islamic State or ISIS. The president has said that he believes ISIS poses a significant threat to NATO members, but he also said today that he's confident that ISIS can be defeated.
It's not going to happen overnight, but we are steadily moving in the right direction, and we are going to achieve our goal. We are going to degrade and ultimately defeat ISIL.
So, Scott, tell us more about what the president said.
Well, he was trying to show that the United States and its NATO allies are acting with urgency but also deliberation. Remember, he was criticized last week for saying the U.S. does not yet have a strategy for military action against the Islamic State militants inside Syria. So today he was trying to say even though this is happening at a slow pace or a deliberate pace, it is going to achieve the goal of degrading and destroying the militant group, and that all the NATO members are on board with that, recognizing the Islamic State as a threat that must be addressed. The president was pressed about whether the Islamic State is something that can be contained, and he said no, you have to keep pushing them back, narrowing their scope of action. He likened it to the way that the United States has gone after al-Qaeda and al-Shabaab Just today, in fact, the United States confirmed that it had killed the leader of al-Shabaab in Somalia over the weekend with airstrikes. And the president sort of painted that as a model of the deliberate but steady push that he envisions against the Islamic State.
Now, Scott, all this talk about ISIS and Ukraine has really eclipsed what the NATO conference was supposed to be about, and that's Afghanistan, because President Obama actually had to go out of his way to reaffirm that the NATO combat mission in Afghanistan will still end in 3 months. And he today also expressed confidence that whoever emerges as the winner in the upcoming Afghan elections, regardless of that, the U.S. will continue to have an ongoing role in that country. So let's listen.
As we all know, the outcome of the recent election must be resolved. And so we continue to urge the two presidential candidates to make the compromises that are necessary so Afghans can move forward together and form a sovereign, united, and democratic nation.
Scott, does the president sound confident that Afghanistan can move forward?
Well, of course, it'll be tough to get a president in Afghanistan, but both the final candidates have pledged to sign a security agreement with the United States, which would allow a residual force of American troops. That's the kind of agreement we did not have in Iraq, and that's what created, in some ways, the power vacuum there.
NPR's White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Scott, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.